and I'm here with Pastor Josh, and you are listening to Jesus-Centric Leadership.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Yeah, leadership, it's such a big word. It's such a big concept, because it's not only what a leader is or what I think a leader is, but it's all the places that God has called me to lead.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's a place in that is to be a leader, you have to lead from a place of having insecurities, but not lead from your insecurities. Mm. I don't know if that makes sense, but there's this idea that I think we as human beings, we always want what we don't have, right? We always want something different.
Right. Like I wish I could be more a leader like you. You're steady. You're not reactive. You really come from a posture of wisdom, I believe, in your leadership. And I don't know that any of those are words that have been used to describe my leadership necessarily.
Yeah, no, and we didn't just get on the podcast so we could affirm each other.
Right.
Although, you know, just for the object lesson of that, that's what we're going to do. I think I look at your leadership sometimes and wish I was a little more, I don't know, courageous, or if I was a little more bold. I think sometimes I can be a little too patient, right? Like that's, you know, that's the value. And I think for me, though, there's a sense that leadership is almost a little bit like hair. Okay, this is weird.
Yeah, that does sound weird.
That does sound weird. Okay, so have you ever noticed how anybody who has curly hair wants straight hair?
Yes.
And anyone who has straight hair wants curly hair?
Yes, I have a friend that has incredibly curly hair, and she will spend hours straightening it. And yeah. I'm like, what?
Why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I had your hair.
Exactly.
Right? But I think the reality is it's easy to look at what we don't have as opposed to what God has blessed us with. And so I think as a leader, one of the first questions you have to ask as a leader is what gifts has God given me? What has he taught me that I can teach others?
But that's a really hard question. I was with my leadership circle, mm-hmm. which is a group of women that all have the gift of leadership. They're leading in different areas in their career, in their homes and schools, mm-hmm. you know. And that was a really hard one for them to answer is, what are your strengths as a leader? Why is that? Why do we struggle to identify it?
Well, I think part of it is from a place of humility, or at least we as Christians see the need to have humility, or at least embody humility. So like humility is part of what Christ has told us to have. We're supposed to be humble. And so when I get into a church group, I feel the extra pressure to be humble. And so I think sometimes when we say, well, God has gifted me with this and I want to lead others in that, that seems very unhumble.
Right.
And I think we're kind of hesitant to say, God has given me this gift. I want to share it with the world. We think that rubs against humility. But that's not a lack of humility. That's confidence that God has called me to this. And I think that's what we have to have. If we're going to say, like Paul did, to follow me as I follow Christ, which is kind of, I think that's a Jesus-centric leadership, follow me as I follow Christ, then we're going to have to say, and God has blessed me in this way, and how do I help bless the world with it?
All right, speak a little bit more to that, because the concept of humility versus confidence, I don't think is one that we talk about very often. So how can I be confident and humble?
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple that the confidence comes not from myself, but it comes from Jesus. If the confidence comes from outside of me, I can have humility that I'm just using my gifts that God has given me. I'm just allowing him to work through me versus me saying, oh, look how great I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we as Christians say that I have confidence because God has called me to do this, right? So you can, if you're a mom and you're leading your kids, the reason you can do that is because God has called you to do that. And the reason why you know that he's called you to do that is you're their mom.
Okay, so how do I keep it from getting heady? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm coming from a position where I'm humble and I'm confident and I see this is where God's calling me to be. And then it felt really good and all the eyes turned to me. And right then and there, I have a choice. How do I continue to make that choice to let it fall in confidence and to give God that glory?
Well, I think it's reminding the people around you why you get to do it, that it's based in God's call on your life and not based on your perceived abilities. Because I think we can look at abilities in two ways. Like if we're going to talk about leading from what you know and not what you don't know, or leading from your skills and not your lack of skills, if we're going to approach it that way, then who gave me the life that I have? God. Who gave me the skills that I have? God. And so I think in humility, you're saying, I get to do this because God has chosen me to do it, not because I feel like I have this gift to share with the world.
Right.
That God has given me this gift to share with the world.
How do you manage that in your vocation? So you preach and you knock it out of the park.
Sometimes.
And as people, yeah, I didn't say every week. But you preach a good sermon. You're staying at the door. You're saying goodbye to people. And they're like, Pastor, that was fantastic. How do you keep that from getting in your head?
Yes. So I think one of the things I do that's become habit now is I just simply say, glad God could use it. But I've had a lot of humbling times, like, you know, just the last Sunday, you know, I preached a sermon that I felt like was half-baked, and I got more comments than I had in quite a while. And I don't know if people were just being nice or if it was actually that good, but that the reality of it is I'm reminded of that all the time, that God's not working through my strength, but he's working through my weakness, right? And sometimes when I can get out of the way, he does more through me than when I feel like I have it all together.
Yeah.
But I do. I do have to say, you know, as a pastor, I do have to say, though, at the same time, that God has given me this ability. And so for me to not use it isn't fair to the gifts that he's given me. It isn't fair to the experiences he's given me. And so I do have to, though, step up. And it's my job to, but I do have to step up and preach every Sunday when there's a lot of weeks that I could say, well, there's somebody else out there that could do it way better than me. Well, no, God has called me to do that. And so I get to step into it.
Yeah, I think for me, getting to work with students and getting to be in their lives, whether it's a mission trip or a parent thanking me, I try to just be thankful for the opportunity I get to be in students' lives. So
yeah.
I think it's realizing, I probably overuse this term, but it's a privilege.
Yeah.
You know, it's a privilege to get to walk with students. It's a privilege to get to go to someone's disaster or their mission site and to serve them and to never take that for granted. I mean, yeah, I never imagined life would look like that, and I'm so thankful. Okay, so it's easy for us in the church to talk about that, but our listeners, they're complimented on their parenting, or, you know, they maybe feel like they're failing as a parent. How do we live in that beautiful space of humility versus confidence in where God puts us in our family, in you leading your family as a man in the workplace? How do I do that?
Yeah, and so that's what I think, where you got to ask the question, like, how is God leading me to add value in this situation, and what can I add? So my son Caleb is like all into soccer right now. So he wants to play soccer in the backyard every single day. And the reality, when we look at my family, Sarah's the one that's way better at soccer. Like, I played when I was like 8 or 9, and you know, and I'm, you know, somewhat athletic, so I can kick a soccer ball still, but like, I don't know how to teach him to play soccer. Like, I barely know how to play soccer myself. I know that you can kick the ball, like, and Sarah's teaching Caleb to, you know, kick the ball with the side of your foot, which is how you're supposed to do to control it, I guess, which I can understand the concept. But I can't kick the ball with my side of the foot. I kick it with my toe, like, and that's not how you're supposed to do it. But so if I leaned into, I don't know how to do this, I can't add any value to this situation, right? And I think that's what a lot of times stops us from leading. I say, well, I don't know anything, I can't add any value to the situation. And you know what that is with my son? That's a lie. I can add value to that situation. At one level, even if I don't teach him anything, I'm affirming that he gets to do this. And
right.
So just my presence is affirming him. And now put that into a leadership situation with your kids, with a coworker, right? Just sometimes by being there with them, you're saying, hey, you can do this. just by encouraging them, by picking out one little thing that they are doing well and calling it out, right? Sometimes the compliments are, I'm leading more with the compliments than I am with teaching Caleb to kick the ball with the side of his foot.
Which you're building confidence, you're building security, you're helping to see him to see the potential in it.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, sometimes leadership isn't being the expert in it, but it's having a relationship with someone so you get a chance to encourage them. And so, but to be able to do that as a leader, right, you have to go back to this question and ask, well, what can I do? How has God gifted me that I can speak into the situation? And even things, you know, about soccer, it's funny, like he'll turn his back when I have the ball and I'm teaching him, like, don't turn your back, keep your eyes on me. And I don't know that from soccer, but I know that from other sports. And so I think when we get into something, we realize that there is things we can teach. But if we're always using the excuse of, well, I can't add value here, I can't do anything here, then we're always going to say no. But we enter in with the question of what can I do in this situation? How has God gifted me?
Yeah, I keep hearing in my head, just show up.
Yeah.
You know, because when we show up, God can do the rest.
Yeah, right.
And I think we miss the boat sometimes in overthinking things like, well, I'm probably not the leader they need right now, or, you know, I don't have the skills to be able to speak to this person about Jesus. What if they ask me something I don't know? That we take all the control ourselves instead of just trusting God in that moment, that he's got the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, I think that's a common response for us as humans, that I'm not the leader they need right now, that they need someone else. Well, maybe there'd be somebody else better, but is God calling you? And again, I'm not saying he's calling you to every situation. When somebody asks you, hey, would you lead this? I'm not saying that he's calling you to every situation. I'm not saying he's always called you to say no. But I think if our response is always based on our skills and abilities, then I think it's going to be easy to say no.
So I've got a friend, and they're my Bible study group, and they would say, how do I know God's calling? Mm. Like, is it really a James Earl Jones voice that's like, hello, and I need you to go do this? You know, it sounds like Darth Vader, I am your father. How do we know that we're being called? Because, that's, again, it's a very churchy word that we throw around.
Right.
And it's not a phone call, and it's not this booming, beautiful voice. So what is it that we know that God has intentionally put us in a situation to use the gifts that he's given us?
Yeah, I mean, I would maybe just ask this question of the person who's asking you. I think I'd start here. I would ask that person, why do you feel like I'm the right person? Right? So you get asked, you're at work. You get asked by somebody to, hey, can you lead this project? Right? Or you get asked at church, like, hey, would you lead this ministry or lead this team or lead this small group? Like, you get asked for that. And I would say you might want to start out by asking the question, why do you feel like I'm the right person to do it? And their response might be, well, you're the only one that can do it. Or, you know, or I think you have the skills and abilities. And then you look at that. And if you realize that, you know, yeah, I do have some ability here. I do have some skill here. And you're seeing kind of the same thing that the other person is, maybe you trust them enough to try it. Mm-hmm. And I think the other places you look at your family, you look at your time, you look at because your ministry to church, or the extra work you put in, it can't, your family's your primary responsibility. But if you have the time, if you have the energy, if you have somebody else sees enough in you that they think you can try, then give it a shot, right? Give it a shot.
One of the ladies in my leadership circle, we were talking about, why are you here? And she goes, because Donna keeps dragging me into stuff, right? And it was cool, and I laughed about it. And then I was like, but how cool is it that she trusts enough to keep showing up?
Yeah.
You know, when I'm saying, hey, I could really see you in this group, or see you leading this, or see you on this.
Yeah, and I think so my big point in that, I think, you know, if you're overly busy and you have no time, like, you need to ask yourself, why do I not have any time? But then also, like, if you do have time and God has placed it in your heart that you need to do more, that we call that, you know, holy anxiety or holy discontent. Mm-hmm. Like when you have that and people are, and somebody sees something in you and they can articulate why you would be good at it, right? Like maybe that's a call from God. And I think sometimes we want to have it all figured out and hear that booming voice. But what if we're just willing to try things? What if we're willing to just trust someone who's in front of us that sees something in us and enter into that situation?
Which may be great if we're invited into coaching our kid in soccer and we don't know much about it, or, you know, there's a promotion in the workplace or whatever. But relationships, that concept gets a little tougher because relationships, so God puts somebody in my you always talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. but I've got a grumpy neighbor. And why do I get the grumpy neighbor that doesn't really want to hear about Jesus or doesn't respond when I
yeah.
snowblow or mow their yard? And now I'm not so sure I'm supposed to be there. How do I know God's calling me in that situation?
Well, you don't for sure. Let's just call that out. Like you don't for sure, right? Unless God speaks to you like he did from Jonah, you know, go to Nineveh, like you don't know. And so I think most of the time we have to ask ourselves the question, how do I love God and I love others? Like that's really what it comes down to. But this is the key. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not God's will. I think so often we judge God's will based on, is this hard or is this not hard? And I even do that, right? If it's hard to write a sermon, well, maybe God doesn't want me to write one. No, that's a lie, right? Like life is sometimes hard, and just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not right. It's hard sometimes to, after I get home from work, want to go outside and kick the soccer ball with Caleb, right? But just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not God's will. And so I think that's one of the things that we kind of get over the hump, and that's why my encouragement is to try things. And when you realize it's not working or this isn't a good fit down the line, then maybe that's when you can back off. But don't not choose. Don't say yes because it's going to be hard.
And do you think sometimes we make it harder in relationships than it needs to be? When God's calling us into this relationship, that we make it harder than it needs to be by thinking we have to be the do-all, end-all. Mm. And then we almost are like, I'm going to be the beginning of this story and the end of this story, and you're going to come to a whole new understanding, when in fact I might just be a little mustard seed of the story, mm-hmm. and God's going to grow it down the way.
Yeah, I think we have the tendency to, I think, in the initial to undervalue what we can do, but in the long term, we kind of overvalue what we can do. And what I mean by that is we think that if I'm going to enter in, I have to do the hard work. And when I enter in leadership, when I enter in sharing my faith, I get to do the easy work and God gets to do the hard work. So I think we have to have kind of a high value in ourselves that God is calling us to do something and we can add value there, but then a low understanding of what our actual value in the day-to-day is going to be.
Which is hard because we live in a Netflix binge world. I'm going to start the story and I'm going to sit here until I finish the story.
Yeah.
And that's not how leadership is.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it before on the podcast, but this idea that God told us to make disciples as we go. As you do the things that you do in your life, you make disciples. So as I live my life, I help the people around me be better and know Jesus better. And that's an everyday faithfulness in the same direction versus a, you know, sit down with Caleb and have 1 4-hour meeting and teach him how to follow Jesus, right? That's not going to happen. But
right.
If I can do it in a minute in each day, then that's a big effect that God can work.
Yeah, as I work with intern Joe and I've looked back on my own ministry at the beginning, I am living, doing, breathing, eating ministry a whole lot different than I did at year one.
Yeah.
And it's because we are on a learning curve and I'm growing and I'm shifting. And there's good in that story and there's some hard in that story and there's some tears in that story. And there's moments I can put my finger on and go, yep, that's what God was doing in that moment. And some this side of heaven I'll never know.
Yeah, do what you can and let God do the rest.
Yeah.
Right, I think that's what it means to be a leader. Do what you can and let God do the rest.
Yeah. How would you challenge our leaders so that are listening to this to for that to be more than just a saying? What's our takeaway today as a leader?
So I think it's just a profound trust in God that he's going to use you how he wants to use you. And then to be willing to enter in and try.
And don't let the angst that you talked about earlier derail me.
Yeah, I think I would add that. But I think, you know, I think if you're going to be willing to trust Jesus to enter into things that he's asked you to do, then I think you're going to figure out more than you knew before. Right. And that's, you know, all we can ask, that you figure out more than you do before, because this leadership and this following, asking people to follow you as you follow Christ is an adventure, and it's a lifetime of learning, and you're never done. So keep trying things and ultimately keep trusting that Jesus is going to do big things along the line.
Buckle up. Awesome. Thanks so much, Pastor. And thank you for listening to Jesus-Centric Leadership. We appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.